Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Nehemiah chapter number 2, and look with me in verse number 18 of chapter 2 of Nehemiah. The Bible said this in verse number 18, "Then I told them," that is Nehemiah that is talking, "then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work." Now I'm interested in the last part of that verse. "So they strengthened their hands for this good work." And I want to preach to you just a little while tonight on strengthened for the work. Strengthened for the work. Father, I love you tonight. I pray that over the next few minutes, Lord, that you would help us tonight as we look into your word. I pray, God, that we would get a clear understanding of it, Father. I pray, Lord, that you'd speak to our hearts. Help your people tonight as only you can. God, we'll be careful to give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. It's interesting to note that when you come to this verse, that Nehemiah recognizes that there is a work, but not only recognizes that there is a work, I find it very interesting what he says about it. He says that it was a good work. And I want to say this to you tonight. The work of God is a good work tonight. Amen. Serving Jesus is a good work tonight. Living for God is a good work tonight, amen. We're not wasting our time in our service for the Lord. Sunday school teacher, you don't waste your time when you study to teach. And can I say this? I hope you are studying to teach and not just reading something off of a manual. Somebody give me an amen right there. But you're not wasting your time. This is a good work. But I find this, he said, so they strengthened their hands for this good work. They strengthened their hands. And as I was reading this week, I read across that, and that word strengthened really jumped out to me. I began to think about this. How did they strengthen their hands for the good work that God had them in? How did they do that? Can I say to you tonight, we need to learn how to strengthen our hands for this good work. The truth of the matter is this, we all get tired every once in a while. We all get weary and well-doing every once in a while. And Nehemiah said they strengthened their hands. Let's take a minute to find out what's going on when we come to chapter number 2. I thought about this. The book of Nehemiah opens during a very difficult period in the history of Israel because of their rebellion and their disobedience to God. The Jewish people were carried into captivity. Jerusalem had been devastated. The temple had been destroyed. The walls of the city had been torn down, and its gates had been burned with fire. Eventually, God allowed some of the Jewish people to return. Whenever you study it out, you'll find that Zerubbabel, boy, aren't you thankful for your name? Zerubbabel had led an earlier group back to Jerusalem, and the temple had been rebuilt. Ezra later returned and dealt primarily with the spiritual condition of the people. Then we come to the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah was not a priest like Ezra. Nehemiah was not introduced to us as a prophet. Matter of fact, when we study chapter 1, verse number 11, we'll find that Nehemiah was the king's cupbearer. Whenever you study that out, he was a very important person to the king. Matter of fact, anything before it went to the king's lips, it came past Nehemiah. He was the most trusted person in the kingdom. But one day his brother Hananiah comes back to him in chapter number 1, and he begins to report to it. Matter of fact, Nehemiah asked this question, how are the people doing? And how is Jerusalem? Listen to the way they respond in chapter 1, verse 3. They said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. God placed a burden in the heart of Nehemiah to go back and to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. By the time we reach chapter 2, verse 18, Nehemiah has traveled to Jerusalem. He's inspected the ruins of Jerusalem, gathered the people together, and gives this challenge. Hey, let's rise up and build the walls back. Can I just say this to you? That was not just some little wall on the side of the road in Jerusalem. That was not just some little place. Matter of fact, whenever you study it out, there is numerous gates, and all of them are torn down with the exception of one. You remember which one it was? It was the water gate. Water typifies the Word of God. I sure am thankful that even though everything around us may be crumbling, the Word of God will always stand. Amen. But I thought about this. God places this burden on his heart to go back, and the Bible even goes on to say in verse 18, so they strengthened their hands for this good work. I thought this week, there's still a work that needs to be done. I thought about this, there's still souls that need to be saved. There's still families that need to be reached. There's still children who need to hear the gospel. There's still communities that need a Bible preaching church. There's still broken lives that needs to experience a transforming Savior tonight. Jesus said this in John chapter number 4. Say not yet, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. He said, behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. I want to talk to you about this thought for just a little while. So they strengthened their hands. Preacher, when I get tired, how do I strengthen my hands? Preacher, when I'm in the work of God, when I'm serving God, when I'm living for God, and I get weary in well-doing, how do I strengthen my hands? Can I give you two or three things, and we'll go home and eat egg casserole? Number one, y'all thought I was going to say eggs and French fries, but it's egg casserole tonight, and there might have to be some French fries with it, Brother Josh. Number one, I thought about this. How do we strengthen our... And can I just say this before I preach to you? If we're honest, we all get tired. We don't get tired of serving Jesus, but we do get tired in the work every once in a while. Every once in a while, it seems that we labor and we labor and we labor to no avail. Every once in a while, it seems like we're putting everything that we can into it, and no one cares anymore. But I want to say something to you tonight. This is still a good work tonight. Amen. This is serving Jesus is still a good work. How do I strengthen my hands in those times? Let me show you two or three quick things tonight. Number one, by intercessory prayer. What do I do, preacher? You just pray. You know, a lot of times I've heard this statement made, and I've made the same statement. Well, all we can do now is pray. That's like it's a last resort, and I don't know if anything will come out of it. Do we not understand what we're saying when we say that? All I can do now is pray. That means that I have an audience with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Think about this, chapter 1, verse number 4. The Bible said this, and it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. When Nehemiah heard about the condition of Jerusalem, his first response was not to make a speech. Look what he does. It wasn't to organize a committee. It wasn't to start raising money. It wasn't to criticize the people who were already in Jerusalem. But here's what he says he does. He goes to the Lord in prayer. And I'm going to tell you something. Whenever we hear something and it causes us to become discouraged in the way, whenever we go through things and it causes us to become discouraged in the way, can I say this to you tonight? May it drive us to our knees in prayer. I thought about this, Nehemiah. He prayed continually. The Bible said that he mourned certain days. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse number 1 places the beginning of his burden in the month of Chislu, while chapter 2, verse number 1 records his appearance before the king in Nisan. Whenever you study that out, there had been 4 months that had passed by. You know what he does for 4 months? He fasted and prays before the God of heaven. He fasted and he prayed and he talked to the Lord about it. I want to ask you this question tonight, and I'm going to move on. When was the last time that a person moved you to tears? The condition of a lost person, the condition of a backslidden person, that it moved you to tears. When's the last time you wept over your community? When's the last time we fasted and prayed for somebody who needed to know Christ? The Bible said this in James chapter number 4. We have not because we ask not. Great works for God are often born out of great burdens carried to God. Can I say that to you again? Great works for God are often born out of great burdens carried to God. Number one, by intercessory prayer. But number two, watch this tonight. How do we strengthen our hands when we get tired? Well, number one, there's an intercessory prayer. But number two, by intelligent reflection. By intelligent reflection. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? When you go to chapter number 2 and you read verse number 11 through 16, Nehemiah arrives in Jerusalem and did something very wise. You know what he does? He begins to inspect the problem before he derives a plan. He begins to inspect it. He went out by night and personally looked at the ruins. He saw the broken stones. He saw the burned gates. He saw the places where the destruction was so severe that his animal could not even pass through. Nehemiah goes out and he looks at the work. I thought about this. He did not allow his heart to deceive him into thinking it really isn't that bad. And I say to you tonight, whenever we think about the situation around us tonight, in the world in which we live, let's just be honest about it. The realistic view of that is this: it's bad. It's bad. We look at the drug problem, it's bad. When you look at the pornography problem, it's bad. I talked to the men a little bit about that on Wednesday night. It's bad. When we look at the spiritual condition of most churches in America today, it's bad today. The realistic view of our society today is it's bad. I thought about this. Faith does not require us to ignore reality. Faith looks directly at the problem and then looks beyond the problem to a God. You remember David when he faced Goliath? David didn't pretend that Goliath was small. The 12 spies didn't disagree about the presence of the giants in Canaan. Joshua and Caleb simply believed their God was greater, but they did not look past the problem and pretend that it wasn't there. When we look around today, we must understand that our world's in a mess. You say, preacher, I thought you was trying to strengthen us tonight. Stay with me. When we look around, it's in a mess. Sin has devastated mankind. Homes are broken. Lives are addicted. Children are growing up without biblical truth. People are confused about the most basic truths concerning God, His creation, and humanity.
Whoever thought, let's just be real. I mean, is that not what we're talking about? A realistic view of it? Whoever thought that there would come a day where in our high schools, everybody's still all right tonight, that they'd put litter boxes for people who say they're cats or dogs? That's the society we're living in today. That's the society we're living in today. Whoever thought that we would have to say, what pronoun do you go by? I'm just telling you the truth tonight. The truth is this. Our world is a mess. Our young people's growing up in a different America than I grew up in. And I'm not but 48 years old. It's a mess tonight. Drugs is rampant tonight. Alcohol's rampant tonight. Fornication's rampant tonight. Sodomy's rampant tonight. People not knowing if their people is rampant tonight. It is a mess. Nehemiah, whenever he goes in, yes, he prays about it. But after he prays about it, Brother John, he takes a realistic view of what's really happening in the area. I thought about this. The Bible says this in Ephesians chapter number 6. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Our enemy isn't the lost man we're trying to reach. He's the mission field, not the enemy. The devil is ultimately the enemy. Don't underestimate the difficulty of the work, but don't underestimate the God of the work either. Oh, yes, it is a difficult work. I'm going to the next point in just a minute. But we cannot underestimate the God of the work either. Yes, it's bad, but it's always been. It's not a gun problem. I guess in Genesis, they would have said it was a rock problem. You that knows your Bible understands what I'm saying. I guess they would have said it was a rock problem. It's not a rock problem. It's not a gun problem. Here's the problem in society today. It's a sin problem. It's a Satan problem. And it's been going ever since Genesis chapter number 3. There was intercessory prayer. There was an intelligent reflection. He looked at the facts of what was going on. But then, number 3, there was the impressing on their minds of the past goodness of God. Yes, he looks at everything that's bad. Yes, he looks at everything that's went on. Yes, he looks how the walls are destroyed. Yes, he looks at the bad condition. But then he says in verse number 18, then I told them of the hand of my God which was good upon me. He said, oh, we may live in a bad time. The walls of Jerusalem may be destroyed. The gates may be burned with fire. It might be a mess. But I went to the prayer closet and I talked to God in the prayer closet. And I come out saying this. It might be a mess, but God's greater than the mess. God's grace is greater than any condition that we could ever live in. He reminds them of the past goodness of God. I thought about this. Nehemiah could look backward and see God's fingerprint all over his journey. God had given him the burden. God had opened the king's heart. God gave him permission to go. God provided what he needed. God protected him all the way. He said, hey, here's what you need to do. You need to remember, Jerusalem, you need to remember who God is. He said, I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me. Think about this. God brought them out of Egypt in Exodus chapter 14. They were slaves. Pharaoh was powerful. Egypt was mighty. But God brought them out. What about Exodus chapter 14 when God opens the Red Sea? What about chapter 15 when God sweetened the bitter waters of Marah? What about chapter 16? God fed them in the wilderness. There was no grocery stores in the wilderness. There was no fields to grow produce in. But every morning they woke up. God provided for them. God fed them in the wilderness. God gave them water from a rock in Exodus chapter 17. God preserved their clothes and shoes for 40 years in Deuteronomy chapter 29. Can I just say something? I believe that. You know what that means? That means if a boy was 5 years old when they entered that, 40 years later, if my math is right, he'd be 45. Anybody 45 in here? Okay, I'm 48. So let's back up. If he was 8 years old when he entered, he'd be 48 when he come out. You know what the Bible said? Their clothes and their food, or their clothes and their shoes. Go home and read the book of Deuteronomy. Didn't wither. They was wearing the same clothes and the same shoes when they came out 40 years later as when they went in. Now, can I just tell you something? My shoe size is different today than it was when I was 8. Jacob's shoe size at 8 was bigger than mine is now. But anyway, can I just say this to you? My clothes size is bigger today than it was when I was 8 years old. Jacob's clothes size at 8 years old is what I wear today. I'm wearing his hand-me-downs from 8. Watch this. You say, preacher, what happened? Let me tell you exactly what happened. They growed. God took care of them. God took care. You know what Nehemiah is saying? He's saying this. Yeah, it might be a mess out there. Yes, things may be going wrong. Yes, it may look like everything is laying waste. Oh, but don't you remember what God done for you before this? I thought about this. Now Nehemiah reminds another generation, the hand of our God is still good upon us. Remembering give strength for tomorrow. David did the same thing before he faced Goliath. You remember what he said? He said, I was in the field and there was a lion and a bear that came up against me. And if God gave me the victory over them, he'll give me the victory over Goliath. Hey, you remember all those times that God safely brought you through? Remember the prayers that God answered. Remember the bills God supplied. Remember the sickness He brought you through. Remember the doors that He opened. Remember the souls that He saved. Sometimes the best way to strengthen your faith for tomorrow is remembering God's faithfulness of yesterday. Can I say that again? And I'll give you the last point. Sometimes the best way to strengthen your faith for tomorrow is remembering God's faithfulness from yesterday. Number one, there was intercessory prayer. Number two, there was an intelligent reflection. Number three, there was an impressing on their mind God's past goodness. But number four, there was increased confidence in God for the future. There was an increased confidence. Look what he said in chapter 2, verse number 20. He said, then I answered them and said unto them, the God of heaven, He will prosper us. Therefore, we His servants will arise and build. Notice Nehemiah did not say, I think this might work. He said, the God of heaven, He will prosper us. See that? He will. He didn't say, boy, if God will bring us through, we'll do something. Boy, if God would help us here, you know what he said? God's going to do it. God, you know what? Nehemiah was already thanking God for building the walls back before they ever even started. Nehemiah was already praising God. They increased confidence in God for the future. I thought about this. It wasn't confidence in Nehemiah. It wasn't confidence in the people. It wasn't confidence in their construction ability. But here's what it was. It was confidence in the God of heaven. The God Nehemiah trusted was the God who had made heaven and earth. Nehemiah looked at the broken walls and burned gates and said, our God can handle this. He expected God's blessings as he moved forward in God's obedience. And can I say something to you? When we move forward in the obedience of God, I promise you God's blessings is just right around the bend. It's just right around the bend. Nehemiah believed God wanted Jerusalem rebuilt. Therefore, he believed God would supply what was necessary to accomplish God's will. I thought about this. God provided, when you study, especially chapter 2, the Bible said this in verse number 8. The king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. God provided the lumber for Nehemiah to build everything before he ever arrived there. Before he ever got there. The providence of God. I thought about this. Asaph may have cut it. The king may have authorized it. But you know who provided it? God provided it. Now, after he did, the people put their hands to the work of God. What did the Bible say in chapter 4, verse number 6? So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together under the half thereof. For the people had a mind to work. Everybody wasn't a professional builder, but everybody could find a place on the wall. Everybody wasn't a professional builder, but everybody could find a place on the wall. Read Nehemiah chapter number 3 and you'll find this. Priest was working. Goldsmiths was working. Merchants was working. Rulers was working. Families was working. Men working near their own houses. Different people, different backgrounds, different abilities, but one wall with one purpose. Doesn't that sound like the church today? I thought about what the Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. We don't all have the same gifts. We don't all have the same abilities. We don't all have the same jobs. But everybody can do something. Everybody. You know, I thought about this. Them old boys out there working on that wall, they needed some pintos and cornbread. Are you with me? With the pintos cooked with a little bit of fat back in it. Somebody say amen. You know what? In the mornings, they needed some biscuits, cat head biscuits. They needed some apple butter. Hey, man, I went by the honey store up there in Wilkesboro Monday, and they had this honey, what was it? Cinnamon? No, it wasn't cinnamon. It's pumpkin, praise God. That's what it was. Pumpkin honey butter. And I'm going to tell you something. You get you a piece of sourdough bread and put that in the oven or in a toaster and get it real hot. And then you get some of that stuff from Josh and you just cake a big layer across it so it sops all the way through it as it's melting. And your fingers get all sticky when you eat it. I might go home and do that. They probably ain't no might. I will, praise God. You know what? Those guys had to have that. I thought about this when I was a little boy. Buck Nance used to mow the yard at Turner's Creek. And whenever he'd start weed eating, there was 437 tombstones out there. I don't know if it's that many, but I'm telling you, there's a bunch. And Brother Buck would start walking around with that weed eater, and he'd go up one row. Then start back down the net. It's about that long. Start back down. My daddy would say this. Buck's out there weed eating. You need to go give him a cup of water. He's thirsty. Me or my sister won't fix a cup of water. And every once in a while, it didn't happen every week, but every while, I'll never forget this, every once in a while, Buck and Nancy give me $2 for bringing him a cup of water. Well, I'm going to tell you something. When you a 10-year-old boy in the 1900s, don't mean nothing today, but in the 1900s, I could buy 2 Matchbox cars at Maxway's with that. That was a big deal. You know what it was? Brother Buck was doing what he could do for the church. Daddy was teaching me just to do what I could do for the church. As a kid, I couldn't carry that weed eater around for 5 or 6 hours. But you know what I could do? I could take a cup of water. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm simply saying this. Nehemiah was saying, hey, God's been good. And as we look forward, everybody just needs to find their place and do their work on the wall. I thought about this. In chapter 6, verse 15, the Bible said this. Miss Tanya, come start playing. Don't say that. But it says this. So the wall was finished in the 25th day, the month of Elul. In 52 days, consider what they faced. The walls had been destroyed. The gates had been burnt with fire. There was rubble everywhere. They faced ridicule from Sambalad and Tobiah. They faced threats of violence. They had to work while remaining prepared to defend themselves. Matter of fact, chapter 4, verse number 17 talks about they worked with one hand and had a sword in the other hand. And I want to say something to you today. It needs to be the same way. You know what those men were saying? They some things I'll fight for. Their families was around that wall. They're saying, there's some things that I'll fight for. And I want to say this to you today. There's still some things that I'll fight for. And I'm not talking about raising my voice. I'm talking about the old man coming out. You go to messing with my family. If you won't stand up for your family, sir, you're a coward. If you wouldn't dot somebody's I and cross their T, and bring the Bible to life, the ringing of the nose bringeth forth blood over your family, something's wrong with you. You can holler amen or old me right there. It's just the truth. Those men was ready to fight, man. There was a battle in front of them. I want to say this to you. Nehemiah said, this is a good work. And we've got to strengthen ourselves for this work that we're in. 52 days. The Bible said this, chapter 6, verse 16. One of my favorite verses. In the book of Nehemiah, it said this, and it came to pass that when all of our enemies heard thereof, and all the didn't say nothing about the workers. You know what it said? God done it. God done it. God done it. Faith did not cause Nehemiah to sit still. Faith caused Nehemiah to go to work. And how did they strengthen their hands? They've done this by intercessory prayer, by intelligent reflection, by an impressing on their mind what God had done in the past, but by an increased confidence in God for the future. If he done it yesterday, he can do it today. He said, I'm the Lord thy God, and I change not. There's no changing with God. The problem is not God today. He's not changed. The problem is man. Let's strengthen our hands for this good work.